We would like to welcome you to the Red Jono Radio Show.
The Red Jono Radio Show.
With your host, the leader and company. Stay tuned.
Oh, well, you guys, that's actually supposed to be my Black-Minded Think Tank Show. We had to do a big major change real quick, but I want to welcome you again to the Black-Minded Think Tank Show. Here, I'm not going to say who yet because you already know. But anyway, I'm your host, Salita, and we have General Houston on the line. I'm going to open up his line in just a few minutes. You guys, we have a real good show, ready to roll, get some good information out there for you guys. So, again, good morning. This is the Black-Minded Think Tank Show, and I hope you enjoy. And please do feel free to use our chat room. And if you have any questions or comments, you can catch us on Facebook on the Black-Minded Think Tank Show's Facebook page, okay? Now, if you have any comments or questions, 347-677-1749 is also a way that you can hear. If you want to just listen in or you have any comments, you can also call in and join the conversation. All right, so let's get started.
Good morning, Salita, and all the listeners out there. I'm doing just fine.
Great.
Sitting here having my, my dandelion tea, trying to clear my throat for the show. Did you want to lead off with the discussion?
Well, yeah, I could do that. I guess we could do that. In the wake of all the different events and tragedies that have taken place in the last, couple of months or more, we're in a moment of panic. If we're not talking about gun control, we're talking about terrorism. And it amazes me that we're at that point where there's nothing good happening in the world. If you understand, nothing good. If you look at all the news, all the news seems to be telling the exact same story. Terrorism, gun control, murder. This is what we're looking at all the time. I don't know. To me, and me in general was talking about it off air, I guess I have a different focus on things than most people do. That's just me. But I see something in the background. Something, you know how you're looking over a hill and you see people walking? You might be on one end and they on the other and you just see the little, you don't see the whole person, but you see some of them and they're coming closer and closer. That's how I'm looking at events that are coming from the other end. While we're standing there panicking about one thing, I can see a lot of people or a lot of situations, events coming toward us. But we're so distracted.
You look beneath the surface.
Oh, yes, definitely. I call it behind the curtain because I believe all this is an act. So I say behind the curtain. It's so much going behind the scenes and behind the curtains that we're so, we're so fascinated by what's on the stage right now. Wow. But in the meantime, behind the curtains, it's so much more coming toward you. But you don't see it because you're distracted. That's how I look at all these events. And we don't differ on that, General, but there's some parts of it I don't know how to say it. I'm not too keen on this whole perception about, oh gosh, terrorists and ISIS and Al Qaeda. I'm just not excited about it. I'm not scared. I'm not nothing.
I can understand why. If I can just cut in for a minute. I want to give a little background on these types of incidents and show their relationship to America, basically financing the same type of terroristic acts abroad, around the world. The Central Intelligence Agency commits many, many, many international crimes, and they commit domestic crimes. And anytime they commit these crimes, they have become experts in doing them in a way in which is very hard to prove. But there's always a trail left. And what you're looking at and what you're talking about is a trail that they left. For example, in the incident that just happened in Orlando at this homosexual nightclub. Now, if you notice, in the last 3 months, Alita, all in the media, what has dominated the news is a reference about homosexuals, transgenders, being able to go into bathrooms. Now, there's been a couple of incidents where one woman shot one man. I don't know if he died in the bathroom. People faking like they're homosexual just to get access to the bathroom and went in there and attacked a child. This purpose serves the far right more than anyone. You know how when there's a crime committed, you try to look around and see, well, who had the motive to commit the crime at the Pulse Gay Club in Orlando? What purpose would it serve? Who would benefit? Just like in the 9/11 attack, who would benefit from all this blood and guts and innocent lives lost? Well, who's been putting out the propaganda and the hate against those individuals with that type of lifestyle? You and I, Salita, when we discuss it, we discuss it from a point of, is this good for our society? The fact that, yeah, people can have a right to do what they want to do sexually with whoever. And when you start legislating laws and dipping into other Americans who don't believe the same thing that you believe, making it legal for two of the same sexes to get married, two men or two women, and all types of other propaganda, especially coming from the president. And then all of a sudden, after 3 months of all these little minor incidents and Obama claiming that he's going to pass some new law dealing with transgenders having access to the bathroom, the massacre takes place in a gay nightclub. Now, that's not by coincidence. So what we're looking at, and I agree with you on this, is a black flag operation inside the United States. And those who orchestrated it are the ones who are prospering from it. Now, the media always goes in there, and whether or not they have access to what really happened, they put out a lot of falsehood. You don't really know what happened. You see all kind of clues leading in this direction and that direction. This person was wearing New York Police T-shirts. He didn't have just one. He had two. But they don't want to follow that trail and see where that leads to. First thing they open their mouth and say, without any fact to prove, oh, ISIS did it. It was ISIS. It was ISIS. They have boogeyman, the name ISIS, where, as you mentioned earlier in our off-the-phone conversation, that it creates a psychological fear in the minds of Americans. And it's also creating more hate because the hate was laid down in all the propaganda in the last 3 months, if you remember, over whether or not transgender, a homosexual male, can go into a woman's bathroom. So this goes right along with the recent propaganda, if you think about it. Now, in foreign countries, America pulls off all types of covert, clandestine, surreptitious operation to overthrow governments, to kill individual political leaders who may be opposing to the U.S. coming in there and manipulating their government. There's always some resistance somewhere where either Zionism is taking place with their actions, Israel, or the United States. All the imperialist countries are always involved in some type of bloody massacre-type activities, and you always see the trail. And so we're seeing that in this incident at this Pulse nightclub. And naturally, whoever did it, they're trying to cover it up. They without any, and then this is what really gets me, Salita. Without any hard facts, they're going to tell the American people who did it. It was the same thing in the 9/11 attack. They're going to say, oh, it was bin Laden and the terrorists came from Saudi Arabia. When we look deeply into what was taking place, we found that almost 400 Jewish people were told not to come to work that day in 9/11. We found out that the Arabs, the so-called Arab terrorists on those flights that was from Saudi Arabia, they were all Israeli Arabs. So now we're seeing the Mossad connection, the version of the Central Intelligence Agency in Israel, which is the Mossad. The Mossad pulls all black flag, false flag operations and all types of other terrorist murders and killing where it doesn't leave a trail to them. But 9/11 certainly did. And you heard the Russian President Putin talking about he was going to expose who really pulled off 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the government is trying to convince the American people without any facts that bin Laden did it. And to this day, I don't see any hard facts showing that he did it. They were saying that he was hiding in some caves, and they found his dialysis machine. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And we know that a dialysis machine can only work if you have extra clean water. So that didn't make any sense. So, you know, this is the latest of an incident like that, but it was many, 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 many more. Go ahead.
Exactly. And another thing, to piggyback off of your saying when you were talking about the terrorist acts and who's carrying these out, and I think you remember you sent me an article from yournewswire.com, and it basically says former agent claims FBI manufactures nearly all terrorist incidents. It says this ex-FBI agent, a former FBI agent, his name is Michael German. He says, routinely entrap vulnerable individuals who would never have committed any violence and brainwash them into committing terrorist acts so that they can be caught and punished by the FBI. So that's almost like the MK Ultra. Yeah, that's how you say MK Ultra.
Right.
What you call procedure that they do to get you to do these things. It also says that they're manufacturing terrorist cases. Michael German, he's a former undercover agent. He now researches national security law, and he was just basically saying these people are five steps away from being a danger to the United States. So they're not definite dangers, okay? they could be. Danger.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you notice something else too, while we're talking about that, you ever noticed how they automatically kill them? Nobody ever gets held, arrested. Only what?
Right. Dylan they're always dead.
They always wind
let
up dead.
Let me say this, please. Lose this thought.
I'm
let
sorry,
me say this.
Guys. Hold up.
Dead.
Hold up just a second here. Something happened here. Let me get this. I'm sorry. Keep talking. Go ahead and keep talking.
Okay, I didn't know if you needed me to pause.
No. Keep talking.
During the 1960s, with all the murders and the assassination of political leaders and other people, we found out in the Black Panther Party that most of the people they were using were mental patients. That, for example, the Jonestown Massacre, that was MK Ultra. And the reason I know this for a fact is that the staff member for Leon Ryan, who was the congressman who was murdered at the airport down there in British Guyana, his staff leader, Holsinger, did their own independent investigation. And a good friend of mine, he's passed away now. Greg Repeat. He had a master's degree in journalism from UC Berkeley, and he worked at KTO Radio in San Francisco. He was a member of the Black Panther Party just a short while in the early days. And Gregory brought the 4-hour tape over to my house, and we listened to it. And if you remember, they killed Jim Jones after the the massacre, that was another massacre, right, in Jonestown, Guyana. Now, the news media reported that everybody drank this lace Kool-Aid with cyanide in it. That was a lie. They took those 900 bodies, most of them from my hometown, Oakland and San Francisco Bay Area, and they entombed the bodies for 9 months in Washington, D.C. When they finally did the autopsies on the bodies, Salita, on your right shoulder, behind your back, everyone had been injected with a needle with cyanide. No one drank any lace Kool-Aid. It was a lie, and they killed him. When they pulled off the Patty Hearst kidnapping right there in my hometown of Oakland, same thing. We saw all of the evidence of the CIA involvement in the kidnapping of Patty Hearst, the bank robbery, the slaughter of members of the Sibonese Liberation Army down in Los Angeles when SWAT shot pyrotechnical devices in the building and burned them all up. So what we found out was, because I had the background information from an organization called Counterspy in Washington, D.C. These were individuals who had been members of the NSA, National Security Organization, Defense Intelligence, and they had the same type of intelligence collecting skills that CIA and the FBI have. But these guys had rebelled against the American government after they got out of those government services, and they started their own group. It was called Counterspy. They were located right in the DuPont Circle area in D.C., and I went over there and visited with them. And they gave me a copy of Donald Dufresne's rap sheet. He was a mental patient. He was running guns across the U.S.-Mexico border for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. He had a long history of being caught with explosives and all kinds of weapons that would have gotten him years in federal prison. And every single time, the cases were dismissed. A long trip, proving that he was an agent. Donald Dufresne was an agent, and the students that became members of the SLA, they were inside University of California Berkeley's Black Studies program. A CIA agent named Colston Westbrook was planted there, and it was he who specialized in agent management, indoctrination, and training that was more or less the liaison working with Donald Dufresne. Donald Dufresne was locked up in Soledad Prison near Sacramento in California. He had an organization called Unisite. So they had these students in the class, in this Black Studies class, go down there and visit him as if he was a political prisoner. But he wasn't. He was an agent provocateur that had a long history of working with ATF, the FBI, and whoever. Then they moved Dufresne to Folsom, and the FBI helped him escape. And he was the one, if you remember, that was leading the Sibonese Liberation Army. When the movie The Exorcist came out, William Blatty, nobody knew who William Blatty was, his background. He had been a CIA agent in Vietnam, specializing in psychological warfare. The book you wrote was psychologically so terrorizing that I remember my little baby sister scared to death to lead under the covers in her bed after she had read the book. And they did all these activities in Georgetown University. Same pattern. When Squeaky Frong shot President Ford, found out she was a mental patient. We had mental patients inside the Black Panther Party like Harold Holmes. All of what the FBI has done and what you just mentioned, which solidifies it, I've known for years that they have used people that were mental patients to commit these mass crimes and murders, and then they always kill them to cover it up. Okay, same thing with Oswald and the Kennedy assassination. The Warren Commission just milked that whole investigation. They were putting it on Oswald, but you know bullets was coming from the grassy knoll, and my good friend Dick Gregory had a photograph. And you could see Oswald standing along the motorcade with the rest of the crowd. At the same time, the bullet was hitting the president in the back of the head, the blood all over Jackie Kennedy, his wife. And so the Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, This is how they operate. They know these are crimes that they're committing, so they always use a fall guy, someone who they can control mentally. He might even be on some kind of drug that they're giving him. And after he pulls off the act, then they kill him. You see, I believe that this person fit that profile, that he had a mental problem, and they used him. So there would be a lone wolf involved in the murders, leading with no connection to anyone else. But if you think about it, as I mentioned earlier, who had the motive to go in and slaughter all of these gay people in this bar? The same one that's been propagating the hate against them for the last few months, especially since the bathroom issue of transgender being able to have access.
Exactly.
So go ahead. I just wanted to point that out, that you're right on point about, you said it in you used another term, but you did point out what I've already known, that they always end up dead, don't they?
Yeah, they never, other than Dylan Roof, the girl who did the theater, Batman theater
situation. Yeah, the one with the red freaky hair.
And who else? It's only a handful of them. Well, that's about three of them all together. I think it's about three of them all together that are still, you know.
And survive.
Exactly. Other than that, there's nobody else. And they always have to get rid of. Remember the Boston bomber guy? Remember him? They chased him up under a.
They found him in a boat, the younger one, in some guy's yard.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
I think they gave him the death penalty.
Yeah.
Now, so yeah, we see all of these similarities. We see all these patterns of mass murder all around the United States. And the perpetrators are always ending up dead. You remember the one black guy that had a shotgun in the Navy facility in Washington, D.C.? Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Found out that he was psychologically damaged. And the same thing. After he slaughtered a bunch of people, he ends up dead. You see,
yep.
we saw that clearly when Jack Ruby walked up and shot Oswald to death. And they did it right in the courtroom. Ruby didn't care about what he had to succumb to, whether it was prison or whatever. But they had to kill that man to cut off finding out anything about what Oswald knew in terms of whether or not he was involved with others in this murder of President Kennedy. When they shot his brother, Robert Kennedy, in the Ambassador Hotel in 1968. In those days, presidential candidates did not have Secret Service protection. And so they were wide open to assassination. And but we found that four CIA agents, his photographs, were in the Ambassador that day, and that's who murdered Robert Kennedy. So they're good at covering up all of these crimes. And the American people should not believe what seems to be so obvious, especially what they're hearing in the newspapers. And I really believe that it wasn't a false flag operation. Oh, they meant to kill those people inside that. And the other thing that was pointed out, I found out yesterday, because as you know, bits and pieces of the facts or whatever in this is coming out slowly, was that the SWAT team, as tough as they're supposed to be, so organized and all their high-tech equipment. You know they hesitated for 3 hours before they went in?
How could one man be able
to kill 102 people?
You're right.
They got there. They're on the scene, and they're too cowardly to go in there and confront them.